Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to Off the Beat and Track podcast. I'm your host, I'm Stu Whiffin. It's another week, therefore it's another episode. Today's episode, I talked to frontman of Dirty Heads, Jared Watson, and it's a wonderful chat. We talk skateboarding, we talk Beastie Boys, we talk hip-hop, we talk great rock records. He's just a dude. Growing up, Huntington Beach, California, and yeah, talking about the kind of skate scene and what was going on then. Sounds super exciting. And yeah, we get fired up. We get really, really fired up about some great records. So you're in for a treat. Before we get on with the chat, a few thank yous. Thanks to Scroobius Pip and everybody at the Distraction Pieces Network. I'm very proud to be part of that network, which was set up and owned by my good friend Scroobius Pip, who's, you know, little shout out to him as always, been really supportive of any of my endeavours, whether that be the Hardcore Listening podcast or this podcast, and we've run club nights together. And so when, you know, through dipping my toe in podcasting, guesting on his drunk casts, to then find myself, you know, 4 years later talking to, you know, being so lucky to talk to the people that I've spoken to in my own podcast, and the fact that he supported that and put them out on his network makes me really proud to be part of him, his network, and yeah, and to have him as a pal supporting what I do. So yeah, so I normally just rattle that one off, but I thought I'd take a little bit of time and say thanks to Pip today. Huge thanks to you lot for supporting. We mentioned it on the podcast. It's recorded today, which is the 12th of July, which is the day that it gets announced. It's just been announced that I can reopen my nightclub. We can all go back to nightclubs and gigs. And so the nature of this podcast is going to change a little, I think, you know, because we've been starting all the conversations, we've discussing lockdown, and we'll be able to not have to dwell on that now, and we can look forwards and talk about the exciting things that are going to be happening and that will be happening. So yeah, I should also say that if it's your first time listening to this podcast, then go check out the back catalogue, because you can hear me talking to the Foo Fighters, Motley Crue, Yellow Wolf, Public Enemy, Fatboy Slim. There's 320 episodes with all your favourite musicians, you know, some of them I've just mentioned, producers, Butch Vig. I've interviewed Butch Vig, which is a wonderful chat. We talk about, you know, being that guy in the studio that put together Nevermind, put together, you know, Sonic Youth Records, Smashing Pumpkins Records. That's a great chat with Butch. And if you like your actors, then you can hear me talking to Thomas Turgoose, Michael Smiley, Maxine Peake, Amanda Abington, Joe Hartley. Got some amazing, amazing actors on the podcast. And if you like your comedy, James Acaster, Ed Gamble, Jade Adams. Who else have I had on? Maisie Adam. Loads of comedians, Rich Wilson, Marcus Birdman. Like, so yeah, just go and have a look in the archive, and yeah, you'll find stacks of chats that you'll want to listen to. And if you'd like to support the podcast, I'd ask you to maybe give us a follow on the socials, on all the usual places. Subscribe, that's good. Then you don't have to worry about anything. A new episode just pops up on your listening device. And if you'd like to really get behind it, then I have a Patreon, and each week I put up video episodes and upfront episodes and radio shows. I think there's a couple of hundred episodes on there that you'll get access to, as well as the stuff that keeps coming out each week. And that'll cost you 79p a month. And it just goes in the pot to help put these pods together. Right. I feel like I'm looking at the little recorder. 4 minutes 20 I've been banging on, and we haven't even got the guest on. So I'll shush now. And yeah, so gives me great pleasure to introduce today's guest from the band Dirty Heads, Jared Watson. Right, I've got to take a quick break in this podcast because I've got some super exciting news. Off the Beat and Track podcast is proud to go into partnership with the Cacao Bar from Hotel Chocolat. That's right. The Cacao Bar is not a chocolate bar. It's all the best bits of a chocolate bar put into a really exciting new alcoholic range. That's right. Gin, vodka, and a beautiful range of cream liqueurs. So one of the big bonuses of this partnership is obviously I'm super thrilled to have Hotel Chocolat working with us, but they sent me a great big box of this stuff. And I'm telling you, it's amazing. Go and check it out. www.hotelchocolat.com or over on the socials at Hotel Chocolat. But yeah, in the coming months, there's going to be opportunities for you to get involved with competitions with us, to win bottles of stuff. There's loads of exciting things coming soon, and I can't be more happy to say that this podcast is in partnership with the Cacao Bar from Hotel Chocolat. All right, let's get back to the podcast. It's Off the Beat and Track podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network. With me, Stu Whipping. Okay, we are recording. Jared, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing well.
Good, good, good. Where are you right now?
I'm at home, Southern California.
Nice. So before we get on to records, let's just cast our mind back over the last kind of 15 months of something I don't think any of us saw was coming. How have you found this recent period of time personally and creatively?
I've had this conversation like quite a few times with friends of mine, and I just want to start off by saying I don't want to sound it was hard for a lot of people, and I understand that, you know, so I don't want to sound like a dick. But personally, it was a really good reset for myself and the band. You know, we'd been touring for 16 or 17 years and not really being mindful of that. Just kind of like, you know, our work ethic is high, and we kind of just had the blinders on and our heads down, and we just knew that that's what we were going to do. And, we had always talked about having like taking a year off, but every year we just grew and grew. So we never wanted to stop in growth. So for something to force us to slow down and take a year off and spend time with our families and kind of enjoy like the fruits of our labor was much needed. I mean, being stuck in the house for a while wasn't the greatest thing, but we were still able to, that's the beauty of this job, is we were still able to go to the studio and just kind of be confined in the studio and still work a little bit, but still, I got a 3-year-old daughter. So that was like a really good time to be home and watch her grow up. Yeah. And it just kind of reset everything. And now getting back to live music and it just feels good. I think at rehearsal, I realized it, because rehearsals are like probably the least glamorous part of the job. They're fucking boring. You're playing the same songs you played for 15 years. Sure. Again, you know, in the studio for 4 hours, 5 hours a day. And, rehearsals are just boring. And, you know, we never looked forward to them. And this was the first time where we got in, and I was like, rehearsals were fun again. Everybody was stoked. We were having a good time. So it was much needed, you know, but, yeah, I'm excited. And we got a bunch of new music. We finished a whole album.
Wicked, wicked. We're recording this on the 12th of July, and the government in the UK has just announced that next Monday, all restrictions are dropped in the UK. So I own a live music venue, and it's been shut for fucking ages, and I can't wait to open my doors and to see people having a good time again. And so, yeah, it's, there's good vibes in the UK today. Like we've been told that next week, that's it, back to whatever kind of normality that is going to present itself. But yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, you can feel the anticipation too, just within like. We played Red Rocks, which is a big venue in the States. It's like a pretty special place. We did our first shows back after a year were two nights at Red Rocks. And Red Rocks is, you know, it's the mountaintop, no pun intended for us. And I wasn't nervous at all. I had no anxiety, no nervous, nothing, because I just like, I was so excited. And if I was that excited, I knew how fucking nuts, like how bonkers the show was gonna go. And it was exactly what I expected. Like I just was like, you know, we could go up there and mess up, we can go up there and have a good time, because everybody just wants to see live music, and the vibes were like so high. Yeah, the draft.
Well, let's talk records. And and I've got a list over from you, and this, the list you sent me just for track one was long. I will push you to pick one, but you can have some honourable mentions. And I do understand, any time I've asked over sort of 300 musicians this question, and this is the one that they're always like, fucking hell, I can't pick the best intro. It's impossible, man. So you can rattle off a few of your mentions, but I do want you to choose one.
Okay. The one that I was leaning towards, just personally, because it's so much different than the rest... So obviously, like a giant fuck you to you in the most loving way for asking that question. Like it started. Like I still have fucking text arguments going on in group chats, because once I saw that, I was like, you know, what's the greatest intro of any song? I was like, what? I don't know. So like I had to like, I wasn't going to answer it on my own.
Yeah.
And I feel like you automatically go towards classics, mm-hmm. and you automatically go towards classic rock, like Pink Floyd and Led Zeppelin, Metallica, things like that. That's just, it's too on the nose. So personally, the one that I think I'm going to choose is the Kanye West one. I can't remember the name of the song, where it's just the piano starting. Let me look up the name of it, because it's new, it's current, and there's something so effective and so minimalistic about just starting with just one piano note, and then it's two piano notes, and then finally when the beat comes in, it's like that's a big, it's like, you know, going to a castle that's filled with like tons of tapestries and shit like that, and you're like, this is the, or a cathedral, and you're like, this is the greatest thing ever built, or walking into some minimalistic home and it's like the most beautiful thing you've ever seen, because there's just one thing in it, and that one thing is so powerful that I think that Kanye West intro for me was just a little bit more unique than a, you know, a 3 minute, you know, Black Sabbath, like Phil Ward drum solo intro or something, you know?
Well, that's really interesting that you said that, because I always like to ask musicians, and you've kind of sort of preempted it really with your mentions and your choice. And that's in the duration of the time that you've been making and releasing records, the way that people listen to music's changed vastly, and we've seen the massive evolution of streaming services and TikTok and things like that. That have, when I watch my children ingest music, it's very different to how I did. Their fingers and thumbs seem to move a little bit quicker. Their attention spans seem to be a little bit shorter, to the point where I think if I was to sit them down and go, check out this like 7 minute Pink Floyd intro, they'd be like, what? I can listen to like 30 songs by then. And
yeah.
And so with all of that in mind, my question to you is, when you approach writing music now and you approach songwriting and the intro, are these changes in the way that people listen to music something that enters into your creative process?
That's a great question. No, but it's been talked about, and that Kanye West song was Runaway, featuring everybody knows it. Everybody knows it. But it once we had the I think, well, actually once kind of SoundCloud, a lot of the SoundCloud rappers started taking off. It was really unique and I really enjoyed it because some of these kids were just, you could tell some of these kids were just in their bedrooms and they didn't have, you know, producers or labels or anybody like barking at them, telling them they need a 3 minute and 30 second song because that's what radio likes, or a chorus or a pre-chorus or anything like that. It was just kids completely creating. And yeah, some of these songs were 90 seconds long. Some of these songs were 60 seconds long. XXX did a great job with that. And it was cool to see that creativeness where they were just doing whatever they wanted and kids were still liking it. And
it's punk as fuck, isn't it? It's so punk.
It's smart as fuck because you could tell the attention span of these kids because they're only getting minute long songs, but that's all these kids have maybe, right? And so, yeah, we talked about it. And then when TikTok kind of came out and Vacation started doing well, you know, it was like I was talking to writers and producer friends of mine, like, are you guys writing stuff for TikTok now? And they're like, yeah, 100%. Like 100%.
Yeah.
And it wasn't everything that I thought. I was like, no, we're not going to do that. That's not us. You know, we are a live band, and we write a lot of our music to the show because I think that is the most important. I think live music is not going to go away if the future, you know, keeps going the way that it is. I do think VR is going to be a huge part of it, but I still would think of that as a live show.
Yeah.
You know, if people are popping on headsets and in Ready Player One world, you know, and we're playing under the ocean or something.
Yeah.
Fucking cool, but we're still gonna make it a live show and we're still gonna, you know, have the songs for that. So it hasn't affected the way that we're personally writing music, but it's definitely like I've noticed it. And you know, I just don't think that's us, so I don't think we have to worry about it right now. And then the thing is too is like I'm a little older and I'm sure it was your generation also, but like then Tool drops an album, right? Tool drops an album and it beats Taylor Swift. And there's fucking 6 minute songs on there.
Yeah.
And they're fucking fantastic. So, you know, good music is good music.
Yeah.
And it'll always come back around, you know?
Definitely. Definitely. Okay. Track two. I want to take you back and I'm going to ask you to tell me the first song you remember hearing that had an emotional impact on you, please.
Yeah. The first song that I can remember having an emotional impact on me was Billie Holiday. And I just chose that song because I liked it. I don't remember what song it was, but my mom had this lavender booklet, CD booklet, and it was skinny and it had the two double discs and it was Billie Holiday and her mom, my grandma, got it for her. And it was the first time I think I'd heard anything from that era, the 40s, you know. And I remember laying down in front of the speakers with my mom and it's kind of a really beautiful moment and being like, what the fuck is this? Like, this is heart-wrenching. Like, no drums, no, like, not, you know, I was listening to like Beastie Boys and fucking Metallica and Slayer and like all this shit that was so like sensory overload. And then you get to like, you know, the kind of jazz and singers of the 40s, and it was just like such a vibe that even like 8-year-old me was like, what the fuck is this? And my mom was like, you like this? I was like, yeah, I was obsessed with Billie Holiday for years after that. And now even to today, like if you looked at my phone or got in the car with me, that would probably be a one odd thing that people think, what do you listen to, you know, on your time off? And it's a lot of shit from the 40s. Yeah. You know, it's a lot of old jazz from the 40s, you know. It's just such a vibe, you know. And I think for me, being a musician, I'm around a lot of loud, very in-your-face music. So when I get home, I need stuff more soothing, more instrumentals, things like that.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Definitely. Definitely. You mentioned, obviously, that was your mum's CD. Was there always music playing at home growing up?
Yeah. I feel like a lot of musicians always use that old trope, like, oh, my parents, you know, had great music and great vinyl, and it was the same. You know, they had a killer vinyl collection that I have now, and they were always playing music, and some I hated and some I loved, but, you know, it was always on at the house.
If I had to ask you to pinpoint the emotion, the exact emotion from listening to that Billie Holiday at that point, what would that emotion have been?
You know, when you're feeling sad, but it feels good to put sad music on.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? I think it was the first time that happened, to where I realized that, like, maybe it was a perfect storm. Maybe that day I was feeling sad or something, but it was the first time that music, like, worked with my emotions.
Yeah.
Alongside my emotions in a good way, even though it was a sad emotion, to where I knew, like, oh, you know, if I'm in a good mood, I can put on something that makes me feel even better. And if I'm sad, I don't need to put on good. If I'm sad, I don't need to put on music to make me feel better. If I'm sad, I can also put on sad music. And that, for some reason, might make me more sad, but it's going to make me feel better in that moment. You know, so maybe I'm relating to that, you know, and it was, I feel like, one of the biggest things about music is that emotional connection. I think that was what made it so powerful, because Beastie Boys was just like, I was 8 and they were fucking talking about drinking beer and, like, skateboarding. So I was like, yeah, cool. But it wasn't anything, like, overly emotionally attached to me, you know?
I think that's really, really mad that you said that, because I do think that that's such a common thing for people to do, that, I think, but on the face of it, people are like, oh, if you wake up feeling blue, like, sling on Blink-182 and throw yourself around your front room and have a dance. It's like, no. Where's that Cure record? And it's like, I want to, you know, and I don't know if it's similar to what you were saying. I want to kind of process that emotion and just kind of, you know, immerse yourself in it and get through it. And it feels comforting. You know, it's a cuddle, isn't it? When you put them records on, it is an embrace, and it's like, look, you know, this is going to sound just right now. You know, you don't need to be like, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it gives you a moment and a feeling of, like, safety to live in it, to, like, live in the sadness or live in anxiety or live in the happiness. I feel like a lot of people's whole lives is trying to change that. Like, I don't feel good today. I got to change it. You know, I it's just like, no, sometimes it's okay. I mean, I feel like same with, like, breakup records. It's like, why do breakup songs work? Because when you're breaking up with somebody, it's such a huge moment in your life and it's so much emotion. Like, whether you're a tough guy or not, like, that's one thing that's going to hurt you. And, like, for some reason, it feels so good to put that song on and to make yourself feel worse.
Because you're so exposed to it as well at that point, aren't you?
Yeah.
And they just creep in, and then that's it, cemented. There's records that are ruined forever because it makes you think of that breakup when you was like 15 that you just think, come on, man. No, I can't listen to it again, you know. Okay, well, for track 3, staying in the formative years, I want to ask you about the song that reminds you of your time at school, please.
Oh, Wu-Tang Clan.
Nice.
Dude, so I grew up, like, in the surf and skate culture growing up in Huntington Beach. It was kind of like probably playing, like, football, like, growing up in, you know, in the UK, right? It's just, or American football in Texas. Like, growing up in Huntington Beach, the culture is very surfboard focused and skateboard focused. So I grew up skating, And hip hop was a big part of skating, and you would make these video clips and you would always choose a song. And it was just me and my friends, you know, with a video camera making these skate videos. And when Wu-Tang Clan came out, it was like, I had never heard any hip hop like that, because they built a world around it. Tribe Called Quest came very close.
Yeah.
There was something very, you know, something very unique about Tribe Called Quest and their sound and the world that they built. But with Wu-Tang, it was like they were, you could tell that they were, that RZA was like a fan of comic books and things, because he was like building an actual like visual world. And the themes, I'd never heard like themes like that been kind of so solid and so nailed down. And then there was a group of them. So it was like a whole gang. And there was a couple other hip hop, actually there was a lot of hip hop groups, but maybe not one that big. I don't know. There was just something so special about Wu-Tang that that's all we listened to. We were obsessed. That's all we listened to was Wu. Like, that was it. We just drank 40s and smoked weed and skated and listened to Wu-Tang Clan. And like, that's just one of my favorite songs. And so
it's so weird that in the UK, like growing up skating as well, like we would find out, like pre-internet, we would find out about cool American bands through skate videos. We would have these VHS tapes and it would be like, whoa, what the fuck is that tune? And like, and you couldn't Shazam it. You had to hope that it was credited at the end as to what this track was on this skate video. And then you'd have to go to like a record store and go, have you got this? Like, you know, and it was like a real feeder in the UK in that skate scene. It was massively that them VHSs, every time you'd watch one, it'd be like, wow, what's that tune? So good. Right.
Yeah, you're so right. Like, there's been so many bands or songs that I've found from skate videos and surf videos. Like, you remember 411? Did you guys have the 411 videos? Dude, I was like, those were like playlists pretty much. Like, skate video was like a playlist, because the Hessian kid would have the fucking metal song on, and then the tech guy would have the hip hop fucking shit on, and you'd be buying that stuff. That's so, I never thought about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think people sleep on how much skateboarding culture affects the pop world. Like, if you look at fashion,
everything too, fashion,
it's fucking crazy. Skaters are the first ones to wear skinny jeans. They're the first one to wear big jeans. It's like, you want to look at what's going to happen in fashion, look at what's happening skating now, and then in like 3 years, it'll be happening in high fashion. You know what I'm saying?
Honestly, like in 1990, 1991, when I was walking around, if you saw someone else wearing a pair of Vans, you was like, oh man, he skates. Whereas you walk out in the UK and everybody's wearing Vans, and it's like, but you know, that's cool. You know, Vans are wicked. But back then, it was only skaters that wore Vans, and it was like you could just tell. And yeah, and it's and again, I just think that you're absolutely on the money there, because fashion, music, artwork, like every design, so much of it just comes out of that culture, and it does get overlooked.
For sure.
Listen up. I've only got another new sponsor, Eggfried. It's this super cool clothing label. And if you're into sort of skating and street art and gigging and kind of like really cool art and throwing a little bit of Asian culture and the designer's kind of weird sense of humor in the mix, then you're pretty much there with the wonderful world that is eggfried.com. Now, they do these amazing punchy kind of graphic tees, hoodies and sweatshirts, beautiful art prints, as well as this. They have a denim range, all handmade in-house, all supporting the slow fashion movement. Not only that, they've given you a discount code, 10% off when you head over to eggfried.com. Just use the code EGGSALAD, EGGSALAD, save 10%. Go and get lost in the world of Eggfried. Also, they've got a new kids range, and it's called Small Fried, and it's super cool, super cute. And again, it's all over there in this wonderful world. Go and get involved at eggfried.com. So in regards to school, before we move on, how was that? Did you enjoy it?
High school?
Yeah.
The social aspect, it was one of those things that like, it wasn't hard for me. So I just kind of, but it wasn't for me. I think, you know, the system, the educational system, like, is not, in my opinion, catered the right way for kids. There's only one way, and there's thousands and millions of personalities and different types of people and different types of kids. And it was just like, seemed like a bunch of dated shit from like textbooks from the 1960s, and you got to do it that way. And I was a super creative kid, and the only class I cared about was art class. And I liked seeing my friends and things like that, but you know, it wasn't really for me. I didn't graduate on time. I didn't really care. Didn't really show up a lot. So it wasn't a bad time. It was fun. But looking back now and having a child, I'm like, man, there's got to be a better way, you know. And I feel like teachers need to get paid more. They need to be praised a lot more. There's got to be a better way, you know. It's got to be catered more like college or something like that, you know. Give the kids a little more choice.
Absolutely. Did you know what you wanted to be when you was at school?
No, dude. So I was going to go to art school. I was thinking I was probably going to be an illustrator or something along those lines. I got this little scholarship to this school in to an art school in Southern California. Line work for comic books, or I even worked at a tattoo shop for a little while. But I didn't go to my government class. So instead of going to government, because I was like, I'm not going to be a politician, you know, and I'm 18. I'm like, fuck everything, fuck authority, fuck everybody, right? I'm like, I'm not going to government class. I would go to musicianship class, which my partner, Duddy, he had the actual class. And the teacher was like, cool enough to just, I probably told him, oh, I have class during this period. So I would show up to a class I didn't have, musicianship class, every day. And I just didn't go to government. And that's why I didn't graduate high school. It's because my government teacher failed me because I never showed up. That was right when I found music, but I thought I was going to go to art school. And once high school was done, we started playing a lot more music and started writing and recording. And that felt like the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And art school did not. I didn't want to go do more school. And I like, it was one of those things where I liked art and I knew I was good at it. And I wasn't good at a lot of other things. And I knew maybe I could make some money, but I would get bored with it.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't get bored with music. And then we started playing shows and people started coming around. And within 3 or 4 years after high school, we had got a manager and we're signed to Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before we sort of move things forward, it's the last question in the sort of formative years. Normally this is the question where people have a very embarrassing choice for this one. But you've got a fucking cool one, man.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to Quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
For track 4, the first record you remember getting from a record store?
Oh, it was a cassette.
Cool.
Yeah, it was a cassette tape. It was Beastie Boys, License to Ill. And I went and I got it with my brother. And we both got our own. And I think that cassette tape, and probably Sublime, when Sublime came out, those were the two most important like albums that I've bought.
Yeah.
You know, even my register, even the way that I rap, even the tone of my voice, like 100% is kind of like an ode, or like was one when I started was wanting to sound like Ad Rock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there another band that formed in the early 80s that up until, what, 4 or 5 years ago, was consistently releasing records that, with every release, released something that was fundamentally just fucking brilliant, cool as fuck, and like, and they're the, you know, they were the coolest three people to ever walk the planet, you know? Like, has any other band done that? Has any other band? As a DJ, I remember going crazy on a dance floor at my school discos to Brass Monkey and stuff like that. And then fast forward to So What You Want coming out. I was DJing then from Check Your Head until the last record. Anytime the Beastie Boys released the record, doesn't matter. Oh, it was getting played and people were going off to it because there's something about that band. They're just... when people talk about Zeppelin, Hendrix, Beatles, Beastie Boys should be in that conversation.
You're fucking right, dude. You're like getting fired up. Because I feel the exact same, man. Like, nothing was ever the same either. No album. It was like, I know the Beatles and a lot of other bands do that, but not like in the hip hop world. Like, nothing was the fucking same. And it wasn't that they were doing the same structure or whatever, and it was it was just different sounds. Like one album they were just like, we're gonna play all fucking live instruments and we're not gonna sing at all, here's an instrumental album, and you're like, why are you putting an instrumental album on? You hit play and you're like, this is fucking fantastic. What is going right? Everything they put out was good. And there's something I think the realness of those motherfuckers, like, everything was real. There was mistakes. There was mess ups. There was pitch. There was like whatever. You could just tell it was fucking dudes having fun, like friends in a room. And they had like so much humor, but then the playing was good. The parts were good. Like, and this is one of the best. This is why I love, not one of the reasons why I love them so much, but I love using them when I get in discussions. I don't want to say arguments, but when I get in discussions with other songwriters or producers, right? Lyrics got to mean something all the time. Every lyric has to mean something. Every lyric has to be about something. Every fucking smash song has to have a great, smart meaning behind it. I agree to a certain extent. There's also songs that mean absolutely fucking nothing. And the Beastie Boys are the king of just lines that don't make sense, songs that don't make sense. There's nothing to them. They just sound cool and they're fucking stratosphere.
Yeah.
You know, like, you can just have fun sometimes. You don't have to write. I try and tell people, you don't have to write songs about shit.
Yeah.
You don't make it have no sense at all. And it's still, as long as it's fun, like, it doesn't matter.
And for me, I think probably maybe every 2 weeks, I just need to watch it and I will go back and I will watch them doing Sabotage on Letterman, and it's raw as fuck, and they just look like the coolest people on the planet, and I just think they haven't put a foot wrong. Like, whatever they've done has just been right on point. And yeah, you seen the film, like the oh man, so good. Right, I'm going to move on because I will just be literally talking about the Beastie Boys all night otherwise. But on record stores, in regards to them, how important was the record store for you growing up?
So the which is really cool, the record store is right next to the comic book store. So right. I would get my allowance, and my allowance was $5.
Yeah.
I would get $5 for my dad for picking up dog shit and whatever I was doing. And it was within skating distance from my house. And I'd get the $5 on Sunday and we'd go straight to the fucking comic book store, and the record store was right there. So it was like, you know, what door do I walk in, or what do I need to get?
Yeah. You've got to choose what nerd you're going to be. Am I going to be the comic nerd, or am I going to be the vinyl nerd? What am I going to be?
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Well, look, moving forwards then, a few years, I imagine, for track five, I'm going to ask you to tell me the song that soundtracked your year's clubbing, please.
Yeah, let's go with the Genesis song.
Yeah,
I mean the Justice song Genesis, because yeah, that one's probably a little bit more well known. There's like two like dubstep tracks in there that like you got on YouTube, you know. And they're, yeah,
the Nero tune's huge though. That's
the Nero tune, that was, yeah, giant. I wanted to, yeah, do that, but the like the Postman. I remember the Postman song was the first dubstep song I'd ever heard, and I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
You know, and. And I was already kind of going to raves a little bit and was already into drum and bass, you know. But I remember Justice was like, that was kind of our go-to, like, yeah, to get the night either started or end. And yeah, that was about 10 years ago. So it was my late 20s when, like, yeah, in my early 20s, like, you're drinking and partying and, like, you're a little shit and everything. But, like, then there's like grown up partying where you have like a little bit of money. You don't have responsibilities. You have your own house. You're flying around. We're in a tour bus and fucking just going hard, as like taking years off of my life. And Justice, I think that was probably one of the bigger songs.
Oh, there's probably Justice are responsible for probably quite a few shortened lifespans, like, definitely globally.
Like collapsed nasal passages.
So, let's go back to the early clubbing, and like when you was young, and you'd go out to a club, whether that be like a rock club or whatever. What did you want from a night clubbing?
Yeah, I think it's probably, I don't know if it is a little different in the UK than here, but in Southern California, it was more like going to dive bars.
Yeah.
It was like, we wanted to go to like grungy dive bars, like punk rock bars, or just like shitty bars that, like, you know, the drinks were cheap. It was, you know, clubs in my circle of friends were like bougie, and that like wasn't us. Like,
yeah,
I said, we was a skater, and, you know, we weren't going to put, you know, fucking gel in our hair, and we didn't have no money, and we didn't want to wait in lines. And, you know, unless like we knew somebody that could get us in, it was more so house parties and like dive bars, you know, yeah, and you just want to go hang out with your friends and try and get chicks. Yeah. I feel like that is globally like the fucking goal for most dudes going out when they party, you know, you want to get drunk with friends, or you want to try and get chicks.
Absolutely. Well, I'm going to take you home for track six and ask you for a favorite song from an artist from your hometown.
Oh, I thought it said home country.
Oh, hey, do you know what? It's county, but we'll go country. That's fine.
Okay. So I thought it said country. So there's this band, or it's a DJ group. They were called Tribe Called Red, but I think it's, I think that's what you can look up. And it's these indigenous dudes, these Native American DJs, like straight off the reservations. And they like, they take their actual, like, they'll take tribes, like the powwow, the like ceremonial songs. Like, I don't want to fuck it up and sound stupid, but they'll take these Native American drum circle songs and they'll put like house music to it, or drum and bass to it, or hip hop to it. And it's fucking mind-blowing. It's so original to me, like I've never heard anything like it. And on top of that, there's something primal to like the like that that taps into to something in me that, like, with something so old and real with the drum circle. So I was like, I thought it was country, and like, rather than doing like country music, because that's very American, I was, yeah, like, let's go back to like the real Americans,
yeah,
and give you some American Indian, like actual American Indian music. And this DJ group is blending that, and it's really fucking cool. It's really, really cool.
Where did you discover them?
You know, right around the time when playlists started getting built, like kind of Pandora days, like when Pandora came out, you just put shit on, and then, yeah, all of a sudden I'm like, what is this? You know, I was probably just listening to some DJ or something, and it popped on, and I was like, and then now it's like all out. Like when I go to the gym, it's all I listen to. It's just, it's very, very unique. And I really recommend people listening to it.
Well, for the last track, you get to recommend something else as well and play DJ. And for that track, I'm going to ask you for the song that you think many people may not know that you would like them to hear, please.
Okay. This guy, his name is Hailu Mergia. And this is going to be the most hipster thing I ever say in an interview, right? it's Hailu Mergia, and the song name is Sinta Yehu. I don't even know how to say it. It's Ethiopian jazz.
Right.
And like, when people are like,
that's definitely the most fucking hipster thing anyone said on this podcast.
Yeah, I'm like, feeling me in my coffee and my fucking vape. And like, oh, I don't know. What are you listening to? Oh, the new Drake song? Yeah, I'm listening to Ethiopian jazz. And I don't know how I found it either. Like, it was just like vinyls, like trading vinyls with somebody, and they're like, "Oh, you like jazz?" I was like, "Sometimes, you know, not progressive jazz, but I like old." And they're like, "Dude, check out this dude. There's actually this shit that you can look up, and it says Ethiopian jazz on your Apple or your Spotify, and it's gangster as fuck. It's like really, really gangster. It's like really fat, like heavy, really hook based jazz." It's just instrumental. I listen to a lot of instrumentals now. And it's just like one of those gems that I always keep in my pocket when you get in conversations with like music snobs that think they know everything. And I'm like, oh, have you heard of Ethiopian jazz? And they're just like, no. And you put it on, they're like, fuck. And it's also one of those things where like, I don't want to give it away because it's so sample friendly. Like, I'm surprised more hip hop producers aren't using samples from these records that I like wanted to keep it close to my chest. In case we use them for samples. But then, you know, what's the fun of that? You know, I like sharing music. So Ethiopian jazz, everybody.
Wonderful. Well, we put together a Spotify playlist to accompany the podcast so people can go and listen to all of the tracks that you've picked today,
that's
Jared.
And yeah, let me get that. I'll share it.
Absolutely. And then, so with that in mind, as of today in the UK, we're coming out of lockdown. I think globally, you know, the world seems to be relaxing. What are you looking forward to personally from the rest of 2021, and what's going to be happening professionally?
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty easy answer. And we're leaving on tour on Friday. And like, I could not be more excited. I don't know if I've been this excited for a tour since I was... I'm always excited for tour, but now we, like I said, we were touring for a long time. So there was it was not burnout at all, but it was just something that I was so used to. It was like, yep, I'm leaving for a couple months. This is what I do. I'm a fucking pirate. Bye. You know, now it's like, we've had so much time off that like my body needs it. My mind needs it. I'm like ready to go out. So I'm so excited for live shows. I think it's going to be good for everybody. I think it's gonna be good for human beings. I think it's gonna be, I mean, not human beings, but I think it's gonna be good for people's fucking health, their mental health, just to be around people, just to go out. Like, we are supposed to be doing this. We are social creatures, like from back in the fucking caves when we were banging on drums with bones and shit. Like, it is built into our fucking DNA, right? And when you take that away, it's gonna be hard. So not to sound pretentious or anything, but it gives me a sense of pride to be able to be a part of, that, like to give people something that I feel like that they need, you know.
Definitely. And, you know, you must know that whatever you give is going to come back twofold as well, because all of them people in the crowd have missed getting as much as you've been, you know, you've missed giving. So it's going to just be fucking wonderful, man. Like, I can't wait to see a show. I really can't wait.
Yeah, it's gonna be batshit. Like I said, I just knew that the shows were gonna be special. And a lot of people, hey, are you okay? Like, is the band doing okay? Like, are you guys gonna be all right this year? And it's like, surprisingly, like, I think this is gonna be one of the best tours we've ever done, because everybody was holed up, you know. And we had success with this song Vacation on TikTok, and it going viral, like 4 billion views, like crazy numbers, and getting us into other countries, which is huge. And like, I've only done 3 interviews in the UK, right? We've only been over there once, And the cool thing is in the UK, in London, we did a show that was like 500 kids. Yeah. And it was packed. And they knew every word. And we're like, oh, shit. But then we went to France and there was like five people there and they were singing the songs. So I was like, oh, cool. We got some French people to know the words. And I was like, hey, how are you? I talked to them after the words. And they're like, oh, we're Marines from the States. They're like, fuck. All right, we got work to do. So we have work to do in Europe, but in the UK, we know we have some spark. So yeah. That song is now able to start getting us press. We're starting getting looks. So now we're going to be able to go back to the UK. We're going to be able to go back to Europe. Like, we're going to be able to go to Australia for the first time. So we're excited not only to tour here, but once, probably not this year, but hopefully within the next 2 or 3 years, be able to get over to you guys.
Wonderful. Look forward to that. Jared, it's been an absolute delight talking records with you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, anytime.
There you go. There you go. Oh, lovely chat. What a dude. Yeah, super cool guy. Really enjoyed that chat. And yeah, both got fired up about the Beastie Boys. Yeah, it's lovely when you kind of stumble across things that were, you know, mutually important in your lives, whether that's Beasties or skateboarding or, you know, all of them things was just lovely to discuss. And you can tell when I get really hyped because I start effing and jeffing. Things got a little blue. And that comes from passion for music. And but if you was listening in the car with the kids, sorry, I won't do that again. Thanks loads for listening. As mentioned at the beginning, you can support it on Patreon for 79p a month and get access to loads of other stuff. I hope you all have a lovely week. I'll see you next time. Be excellent to each other. Take care. Love you. Bye.
It's Off the Beat and Track podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network. Keep me, Stu, with him.